Here we are jumping off an hour or two of sports talk on WWLAMFM.com and always free and live on the Odyssey app, along with NFL and college football analyst, the Cajun Cannon, analyst Mike Dettillier, the Cajun Cannon Bobby Hebert.
Yeah, we all close. we can some kind of way.
I'm Christian Garrick. Kind of ran it all together there. Right to our Oaken Heart Jewelers talking text lines, Derek in New Orleans. Go ahead, Derek. You're on WWL.
Hey, what's going on, y'all?
All right, guys.
Yeah, look. Man, y'all gotta stop pushing the red
rocket, red rifle.
Be more like the red Ryder BB gun. Man, come on, man, y'all gotta give Jameis a shot.
No, listen, if it would have been me, he would have had his shot already. No, I'm gonna be honest.
No, he ain't have his shot already.
I would have given him that. That second chance, I'd have put him back in the lineup. I've said that.
The only thing is, Derek, whether it's Jameis or Andy Dalton throwing the football, how about if it hits you in the face mask and you don't catch it? I mean, I can tell you right now, it's like damned if you do, damned if you don't. So I think, realistically, what's going to occur come Monday night against Tampa Bay? If Andy Dalton plays well, he'll continue to be the quarterback. So let's say he would struggle or they need a spark. You know, you need a spark. I need a spark. I need something different. I could see, you know, we have the bye that Jameis Winston close out the season. So now you might say, well, why if you're Jameis Winston would you want to play? Because I'm playing for my future. I want to play and show that I can kick butt and get well compensated. So that's why, you know, people say like, oh, if I'm Jameis, I wouldn't go out there. It's a lost cause for the Saints. What? Are you going to be a pro? Are you going to suck it up? Or what are you going to do? No. If you get opportunity, you got to be a pro and go take advantage of that. So that's why I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen against Tampa. All I know is we got to win because it's a 2-for-1 NFC South. Then you got the bye, then you got Atlanta and how we close out the season. I'm not one of those, oh, it's over, fire everybody, they all got to go. I'm not one of those because it's a process. It does matter what's going to occur in the future. It depends on what the final record is. It's whether Dennis Allen is back or not. I mean, I say this again. I'm going to say it over and over. 6, 7, 8 coaches get fired every year. 2 coaches already got fired. So it does matter how you close out a season, the perception and the hope going forward. And we all could say whether it's Jameis Winston, whether it's Andy Dalton, I don't think the future quarterback is on this roster. And we're not going to invest all that money in them, but you still need a bridge guy.
Yeah.
And I think Andy Dalton, personality-wise, would be more acceptive of being a bridge guy versus then Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston, Derek, still thinks he's going to be the man. Okay, so you're getting that opportunity. So when the season's over, let's see. So Andy Dalton, he's kind of up and down, and then we beat Tampa Bay, and we beat Atlanta, and he's the quarterback. And then we go to the Eagles and or Cleveland, whatever happens, and Jameis don't get the opportunity that he wants. What, he's going to quit? I'm just going to quit. I don't want to play no more. No, he's going to go in there and compete. If he wants to get paid in the future, he got to have sustained success somewhere because there's not enough quarterbacks going around.
Reality is the future long-term quarterback for the Saints is not on this roster.
Caleb Williams.
Give me Caleb, but you're going to have to wait a while
for
gotta
Caleb. We got to wait. Be patient. We're thinking long-term. It's a long decade. I'm not worried about even 2023, 2024. I'm telling you, Caleb Williams. Figure it out, Mickey. Come on.
Chris Gordy. Locked On SEC is next here on Sports Talk on WWL.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, back here on Sports Talk. Joining us now from Locked On SEC is Chris Gordy. Chris, thanks for the time. We appreciate it.
Yeah, guys, anytime.
LSU and Georgia in the SEC Championship game. 17.5-point favorites are the Bulldogs. over LSU. I wrote a column basically saying I would not be surprised if somehow Georgia is covering by, you know, six, and all of a sudden you get a late touchdown for LSU and you end up covering. You agree?
Yeah, I mean, I've been going back and forth on this, and I've been diving into the numbers. So let me give you some positives for the LSU fans and your audience. But number one, LSU has done a pretty good job all season of covering tight ends. UAB's tight end, a week or so ago had 56 yards against them. Cameron Latu at Bama had 50 yards. Samuel Shanker at Auburn had 42 yards. Outside of that, they've done a pretty good job of bottling up tight ends. Fant for Tennessee didn't do much. Zipper for Florida didn't do much. Statistically speaking, they're going to face the two best receiving tight ends in the SEC. Both of them are at Georgia. It's Brock Bowers and it's Darnell Washington. So looking at just scheme-wise, I think this is a game where, like, Micah Baskerville is going to have to come up huge. He's been pretty solid, you know, as a coverage linebacker. You know, how do they use Harold Perkins? Are they going to have him covering the tight ends at times? That'll be interesting to see. And then statistically speaking, Stetson Bennett has been good, not great this year. He has improved his completion percentage from last year. He's gone from 64 to 67%. He has close to 300 more passing yards this year, but he's thrown 13 less touchdowns this year than he did a year ago. So there's just little statistical things I'm looking at and going, okay, well, look, you know, maybe Georgia's not the behemoth, number one overall team in the country, looks unbeatable. You know, maybe LSU has a chance if they do some of the little things here.
Yeah, one of the things, Gordy, Chris, is that, man, I don't know about Baskerville going up against Bowers too many times. I mean, that would scare the ever-loving hell out of me if I'm LSU having to match him up against Bowers. Bowers is like a receiver playing tight end. But this offense isn't quite as good as a year ago because I think the running back combination, Georgia's running back combination a year ago was really, really good. And it's not quite as good this year. They big up front. But what's shocking to me is how well they played on defense. When you lose all that talent to the NFL and you reload the rifle, and Bobby has a statement all the time about bend but don't break.
And you're only giving up 11 points a game.
You're giving up 11 points a game. And I told this to Christian and Herb one Saturday. I said, you know what Georgia is? They break you over, they break you down, and then they bend you over, and they spank you. Because defensively, they give you so many different looks, and they come at you so many different ways. Sometimes it's a corner blitz or a safety blitz. Sometimes it's the linebackers. And then they drop people in coverage. They throw you so many different looks, but they're doing it with different people. That's what, to me, is the most surprising about this Georgia team, that this defense, with everything they lost to the NFL, is still averaging less than two touchdowns a game to an opponent.
It's impressive. Now, go look at Georgia's schedule. You know, you can only play who's in front
right,
of you.
Correct.
They dominated Oregon in the opener. But after that, you know, they avoided some of the tougher teams, throughout the college football world this year. Didn't have to play Bama. But, you know, that's where one of my big concerns is LSU's offensive line against Georgia's
yes.
D-line. Because
bingo.
LSU's O-line against Arkansas, we saw it. It wasn't great. You know, they did a great job of scheming up and getting after the freshman tackles. And then I thought this past week against A&M, they were good in run blocking. They were not good, you know, great pass protecting. Emory Jones got beat a couple of times. But what's crazy, Mike, is Georgia's only had 22 sacks this year. That's middle of the pack in the SEC. You know, less than two sacks a game. But
they get pressure.
Yeah, they do. And Jaden is the most sacked quarterback in the SEC. He's been sacked 40 times this year. Now, that's a little skewed because he runs so much.
Right.
Some of those happen behind the line, and they gets called the sack. But I think LSU's O-line has got to play great this week, give Jaden some time, and keep those drives alive. And, you know, we just saw what A&M did schematically to LSU, getting those 7-8 yards on first down last week, and it set up those second and shorts and third and shorts. I wonder if LSU could maybe go into, you know, with a game plan like that this week, try to pick up those 6, 7, 8 yards on first down and then give you a manageable second and third and maybe play some keep away, keep those long, sustained drives going because man, again, like I said, Georgia's defense, they're studs in the secondary, but big Jalen Carter up front, number 88, he's been getting better and better week by week. And
you got to run the ball. Bottom line, you got to run the ball against Georgia, and hopefully Josh is healthy. I don't know if he's going to be, but you can get a running game going because I think that's going to be the key for LSU. You got to be able to run the football with Daniels, with Josh, with Noah Kane, with John Emery, whoever. You got to be able to give them a semblance of a rushing attack, which you really didn't have against A&M. You really didn't. You were forced to throw it, especially in the second half.
Yeah, and John Emery, we saw, you know, had some nice runs and ended up with all the touchdowns. But to me, how healthy is Jaden? I mean, we saw the hesitant Jaden Daniels again last week. We saw him against Arkansas. You know, he was letting it fly against Florida, against Ole Miss, against Alabama. But we saw him, you know, sitting back there holding the ball. And you're literally screaming at the TV, throw the football, get rid of it. Got to let it fly this week. Like I said, Georgia's got a really good secondary. Keely Ringo's had a great year. Chris Smith has been great. Malachi Starks, that kid has been a stud of a true freshman. But to me, if LSU's going to win this game, if they're going to have a chance, they got to let it fly down the field. You've got Kayshawn Boutte. You've got Malik Nabers. Get those guys the football. Test those DBs and let it fly. And then the other side is Jaden's got to run effectively. Georgia's done a good job of slowing down the running quarterbacks this year. Bo Nix only had 37 yards. Robbie Ashford had 52. Jaden's going to have over 50-plus rushing yards this week, I think, if LSU has any chance to win this one. So it's asking a lot, but that's what's got to happen if they're going to win this game.
Well, you know, Chris, I think it'd be a monumental upset. The one thing, you know, it has to be in back players' minds because they are human, that even if Georgia loses, they still win the postseason. Now, think about that. You've played so well this year. If we win, now we want to win the SEC title. Ultimately, you want to be a national champion. But if Georgia loses, they're still going to the postseason. You know, it's not an expanded playoff. It's only four teams, but they're still going to be in that number. And I still look at it. They're averaging 38 points a game. They're only giving up 11 points a game. And then, you know, like I told Mike, like whether it's bend but don't break, they lead the nation in red zone offense, 97% of the time they get inside the 20-yard line, they're scoring. And then you look, they're number one nationally in red zone defense, giving up a score like you might say, well, that's a lot. But no, it's number one in the nation 64% of the time. So that's why, I mean, I don't know. The ball got to bounce LSU's way.
You got to get some turnovers.
Yeah. It's like, okay, are we like LSU's plus two? And maybe, you know, they shoot themselves in the foot. Because the one thing I've noticed about Georgia, Chris, I don't know if you noticed this, that look at that Missouri game. They kind of played to their opponent. And then all of a sudden it's the fourth quarter. Man, we might lose this game. We got to turn it on. And then they did against Missouri.
So played against Tennessee, they were like, man, Tennessee, come on over here. We will spank you.
Yeah.
Well, and that's where I go back to Stetson Bennett being good, not great this year.
Yes.
The one stat that stands out to me is he's had 7 rushing touchdowns this year. When Georgia gets in the red zone, everyone's looking at the running backs. Stetson will take the ball himself and
yes.
He'll go run it in. And that's where I think a Harold Perkins could play a role, you know, shadowing Bennett if he's going to tuck it and run it and you know,
I know
really
one thing.
That away.
He ain't running away from Harold Perkins.
Well, no, but
I've been on the field with Stetson.
But he's way more athletic than you think.
No, but Harold Perkins is a different guy out on that football field. So Stetson can run pretty well, but if he cuts the corner, Harold Perkins is catching him.
And the other thing is, guys, what did Kentucky do so well against Georgia 2 weeks ago?
Yep.
They held them to field goal.
Yes.
They kept getting down in the red area and kept making them settle for 3. If LSU can do that and keep the offense in this game, I think they're going to have a great chance. And what's crazy is, you know, we look at Georgia, and they've been such a good running team since Kirby's been there, but they're kind of middle of the pack this year in running the football. Ole Miss ran the ball better. Arkansas ran the ball better. Florida, Tennessee had better run games this year than Georgia. Now, what they do is they run the ball collectively as a group. It's literally running back by committee, from Kenny McIntosh to Dejon Edwards, Kendall Milton. They've only had 2 100-yard rushers this year. I mean, that's how much they spread the ball around and share the load. So Again, there's just little things I look at, say maybe LSU has a chance. And to Bobby's point, this is a big game for Kirby Smart. You know, Kirby, this is his fifth time to Atlanta. He's only won the SEC championship once. So he wants to win one. I mean, he's lost to Alabama three times. He's lost to LSU once. So he wants to get this one and put this one in the trophy case, because the same exact thing, like Bobby said, happened last year. They went into this game, lost it, and still got into the playoff and won the championship. But they've been avoiding winning those SEC championships, and he wants to get one of those in his trophy case.
Chris Gordy for all things SEC. Subscribe to Locked On SEC on the Odyssey app, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Chris, thank you.
Thank you, Chris.
All right, Chris.
Anytime, guys.
All right, guys.
The Deuce McAllister, the legendary Deuce McAllister, will join us after the break. This is Sports Talk here on WWL.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Back here on Sports Talk, Bobby, Mike, and Christian. We welcome in now Saints color analyst Deuce McAllister. Deuce, how are you, man?
Doing good, fellas. How you guys doing?
Good. You're already on the road, traveling?
Just getting back, man. I had to go over to Galveston for something and then just got back. So trying to catch up on everything. So I had a little flight delay, and I apologize about that.
That's all right. Deuce's travels. We know you're a well-traveled dude. Deuce, 4-8. Buccaneers come to town on Monday. Or they go to Tampa Bay, on Monday. And I know it sounds wild, and I get tired of hearing about it, but the Saints are still technically in this thing.
No, they're 100% in. I mean, that it does sound wild. It's quite fascinating, to say the least, and I think that's probably the most frustrating part about it. If you don't care of any of your business up until this point, you would, you know, head and shoulders above where everybody else is, and teams would be chasing you, but that isn't the case. But guess what? All is not lost. So if they can just take care of the business, they give themselves a chance.
Deuce, man, I've done, I can't tell you how many shows about the in Tampa about the Saints. The same frustration you hear here, you hear it in Tampa. Man, what the hell's happened to this team? And they got Tom Brady at quarterback. Okay, so that's a different story, but you hear the same frustration. It's almost like mirror images of one another, and sort of the same issues. Not being able to move the football on offense. At times, the defense plays great. Other times, not so much. And then late in games, and I watched the end of the Bucs-Browns game. Man, Tom Brady missed on four different times wide open receivers. They could never stop Nick Chubb. Good, but listen, they're in a long line with that because Nick can run the football. And that's the one thing the Browns can do is run the football well. But you hear it. It's almost the same thing from people covering the Bucs. You hear it from people covering the Saints. The frustration of, man, if a couple more games went our way, we so far ahead in the division, man, we looking in the rearview mirror. And I think that's what really is frustrating for Saints fans and also for Bucs fans.
Yeah, but I mean, when you look at the Bucs and some of the issues that they've had, I would say one thing that is surprising is their run defense is not,
not good.
I mean, I understand that you did lose Sue, but you can't tell me that Sue made that much of a difference to where you've dropped off so far from a run defense standpoint. But for them offensively, it starts up front. They were going to have that issue when they lost their two guards and then your all-pro center gets hurt. That's the problem right there with Tampa Bay. And now your quarterback.
Now your tackles are hurt.
Well, now, but that they weren't hurt before. I'm just saying going into the season.
Yeah.
Going into the season, that was the issue. I mean, that's the issue. Your quarterback has never liked pressure up the middle. And so now he knows that. And then he's a little older, so he doesn't practice every day. And you talk about from a timing standpoint, the timing isn't there. That's the issue.
Yeah.
I mean, but that if you knew football, you knew that going into it. Yeah. Now, the running
game is almost nil. Because now Rashad, it's his show now. It looked like they've almost unplugged Leonard completely.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree. And he's frustrated as well.
Yeah.
He's frustrated with his role as well. And so, you know, that's a whole nother story and a subject. I mean, but for the Saints, if you really watch this team and understand this team, you knew what the limitations were with this team.
Yep.
You knew what unit had to play well, and you knew what unit had to play at least up to par or average at best. And you have just been up and down, up and down. And, I mean, if you're being honest and objective, you kind of knew and understood, all right, these guys right here, defensively, they have to be elite.
Mm-hmm.
They can't afford to be average.
Right, we can't be they middle of the pack, dudes. We can't be middle of the pack. Come on. We can't be middle.
I mean, is that not average?
No, it's average, middle of the pack. We can't have that. But I can tell you what, you know where we are not average? And I think we humbled and surprised the 49ers. Where has that been all year? We were unbelievable.
Well, no,
run defense.
Overall, Bobby,
run defense. No, but
game.
Run defense. The 49ers wanted to run.
I understand that game, but I'm saying overall, for this team to have been what we expected.
Right,
what
I agree.
They expected it to be, that defense had to be elite.
Yes.
No, it had to be
not
elite.
One
but,
game,
but no, not
yeah,
one
not
game.
One game, yeah. But overall for the season.
Well, I can tell you one thing why we did this against the 49ers. They probably thought, man, we gonna run it down the Saints' throat. You know, we've given up like 4.6 yards a carry. The Rams just got 4.9 yard average. You know what? We're going to jam it down the Saints' throat. That did not happen. To me, like, where has that been all year? But that was not the case. The 49ers, to me, I look at New Orleans. You know why, Deuce? I thought it was our best tackling effort the whole season. You know, like when you have a chance to tackle somebody, dude, they go down. I thought San Fran, we did an unbelievable job. Now we got to do that continuously against Tampa Bay going forward. But that was the one thing. You know, you look at, okay, it wasn't all bad. You didn't score any points. But I'm looking at, okay, it might be like, hey, Bear, that's all you focus on? No, that's a good thing because I think run defense and how you try to make teams one-dimensional – I think it's our best tackling performance all season.
I agree with you, Bobby. I agree with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't have an argument here. I mean, I 100% agree. My only gripe with our defense, I need turnovers.
Yes.
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 I need turnovers. I mean, you've got to figure out a way. When I get my hands on the football, I got to come up with it. I got to come up with it. I can't knock balls down. I can't hold on plays. This defense becomes elite when it turns teams over. That's the only thing that you're missing with that defense. Offensively, you have to run the football. You have to hit explosive. You've been inconsistent in that area, and you turn the football over. I mean, if you can't do those two things, then you're not helping your defense at all.
Deuce, are you seeing enough accountability from the captains and the leaders of this team in the midst of not playing well?
I mean, that's a loaded question. Accountability as far
Chris is trying to set you up, dude.
I guess, okay. Yeah, I mean, no, so, dude, so, I'm not trying to jack you. I'll make it more clear.
I mean, but that's a loaded question. So from an accountability as far as speaking to the media or an accountability as far as running sprints, what from what part of an accountability?
He's talking about the media. I want to hear from
– I know – look, I've been around that team for a long time when I was a sideline reporter, and even when they didn't play well, there were guys that stood up in that locker room, multiple guys, Zach Strief being one of them, but several – that would stand up and just and answer every question and wouldn't duck the media. And I don't know if they're ducking the media or not, but it seems like it.
No, I look, that's a legit fuss. That's a legit argument to have, but I can't make him talk. I can't make the captain go up there and talk.
Who are you
either.
Talking about, Alvin Kamara? Come on, dudes, keep it real.
No, I understand exactly what you're saying.
Well, say
and
Alvin Kamara.
AK, if I made a mistake,
right.
I got to own it.
Yes.
I got to own it.
I guess
what
I'm asking.
I have never heard any player ever say, I'm doing a post-game press conference. I got to go through my lawyers. What? I got to go through my lawyers because they might ask me something about Las Vegas. No, we want to know why in hell you fumbled against the 49ers. We don't care if you beat somebody up in Las Vegas, what occurred there. We want to know what's going forward, what happened in the game.
Well, I can tell you why he fumbled. He wasn't squeezing the football. That's why he fumbled.
You know,
he wasn't squeezing
bubble.
The football.
But, Deuce, I guess what I'm saying.
I mean, he wasn't squeezing the football.
What I'm saying is you've been a leader in that locker room. You've been there when things weren't going well. I recall you standing up quite often and answering to the media.
We're two different individuals. I mean, at some point, he will talk. It may not be when we wanted him to talk, but he will talk. He will have to face the music and tell us, hey, look, I didn't play well. He knows he didn't play well. He knows he has to be he has to play better. He has to be the best player on the field for this New Orleans Saints to be successful. That's non-negotiable.
Amen.
Yep. Amen.
Hey, that's it. The douche hit it right on the head there. You know, just stand up to the plate. When things are going well, you gotta address the masses. You gotta address the media. And then when things aren't going well, that just comes with the territory. You know, that'd be like all of a sudden you got a seasoned veteran like Andy Dalton. And he's the quarterback, and we're not winning. Andy Dalton said, I ain't talking to the quarterback. Talk to my – I mean the media. Talk to my lawyer. What? Come on. Everybody, much is given, much is required, and you got that big C on your jersey. Whether you're an offensive defense, you got to talk to the media. Listen, you can give some BS answer. Oh, we got to because I've done it before. We got to play hard. We got to tackle and block better and all that. You could say – well, yes, we're not going to win the game if I lay it on the ground. And then how is the media going to challenge that?
Well, I can tell you, I'm tired of hearing I didn't play well. I want to hear why. What's the reason the team
didn't play
well?
You could say lack of concentration or I got a snot bubble. That dude knocked the crap out of me. That's why I fumbled. And then how about you say that? Like, oh, that's pretty honest. You know, I'm trying to hold on to the ball, but I got the crap knocked out of me. That's why I fumbled. I mean, that happens.
Deuce, you there?
Yeah, I'm
not. Still listening?
Say? It happened.
Yeah, right. No, Deuce, you know how it is to protect the football.
He wasn't extending it out. He never even got a chance to extend the football out.
Right, right.
He never got a chance to extend the football out. I mean, but that's a situation also where we can't love him when he does extend it out at home and he's able to break the plane. But
right.
Then he's fighting for this extra yards and he doesn't get the extra yards and he ends up fumbling. I mean, so you have to be able to take the good with the bad.
That's
but at
true.
The same time, he knows that he has to be able to come and tell the story so the people can hear his own words and not just us assuming. I mean,
right.
But trust me, he doesn't feel good that he didn't play well. He doesn't feel one bit as far as like, hey, I'm shaking it off. It doesn't matter. He knows. Here's what it comes down to. If, and it's not just him, because we know, if you continue on the track that you are, there will be changes.
Yes,
there will
no
be
question.
Young men in that locker room that will not be back. There will be coaches in that locker room that will not be back. Period. So you know how to change that? You win.
Yep.
And if you don't win, that locker room will look a lot different, and that coaching staff will look a lot different.
That's a great point,
yeah,
dude. That is a great point.
That's what we've been talking about also,
That is a great point. But why? I've never heard an NFL player, now this is the season, and you're breaking down your game performance and you're going to address the media, that my lawyer suggested I don't talk to the media. And then the media comes back and says, we're not going to ask you anything about Las Vegas. We're going to talk about the game. And then you still decline it. Now, that's a bunch of BS. I don't know. That's some millennial crap or something. I don't know.
It may be some millennial stuff. It may be some BS. But look up some of the stuff that Dennis Rodman did.
Oh, God.
No. He was crazy with the North Korea. Come on. He's hanging out with Kim Jong-un, whatever.
Now you didn't set him off, dude.
Yeah. What?
Now you set him off.
And Rodman, he goes to Vegas. Like, we got games. Like, you playing games and he goes to Vegas.
Right,
so,
right.
Hey, what do you want? Don't ask me about Vegas. I'm going to Vegas. What do you mean? I'll be back.
That's like crazy stuff.
Deuce, real quick, Georgia LSU, your thoughts.
LSU has to create at least two turnovers.
I agree. Yeah.
Obviously, they can't turn the football over themselves. And then you talk about being able to stop the run, because that's what Georgia's going to do. They're going to continue to stop the run, stop the run. They're going to run the football, but then they want to hit you with explosives, you know, with the multiple weapons as far as tight ends.
Yeah.
And your quarterback, Daniels, has to be special that day. He can't afford to be average. He's got to hit some deep shots as far as – that's not a defense that I think that you can consistently drive the field 8, 9, 10, 12 plays. You've got to hit some explosive plays, and he's going to have to use his legs to make some plays.
Deuce, we'll talk to you again soon, man. Thank you.
Thank you, Deuce.
All right, Deuce.
All right, fellas.
Saints color analyst Deuce McAllister. This is Sports Talk here on WWL. All right, if you're on hold, we're going to get to you next hour. We don't want to run you up against the clock here. So, Greg the Fireman, Clinton, James, sit tight. You guys will lead off next hour. Danny Cannell, former NFL quarterback, and also appearing courtesy of Bet Online. Mike, that's pretty much a wrap for your portion of the show. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Yeah, man. And how about Danny Cannell's Florida State? You know, they got off to a nice start, and then all of a sudden they started to lose some games. But, man, they pieced it together late. Man, I give Norville a little credit there. I really do.
Yeah, considering, big win against LSU to start the season, and you have a lull and how they finish. That's impressive.
All right, Mike, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, guys, see y'all tomorrow.
All right, Mike.
All right, if you want to jump in the conversation, feel free at 504-260-1870 on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Lines. Two down, two to go. Sports Talk rolls on here on WWL.